Conference Committee on the Voter ID Bill, known as Senate File 509, will come back to order. Representative Kiffmeyer, we had discussion about a few other issues. There was one provision, I don't remember where it is, that we were going to discuss at a later time. This might be the appropriate time to discuss that.
Mr. Chair, the subject?
That was on that quarterly.
Oh, the quarterly, yes. The quarterly campaign finance.
It was in the House
finance,
language, I remember.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
It was not part of the Senate.
Right.
Mr. Chair, it's page R18.
R18.
Here comes
on page R18. Section 1 at the bottom on the House.
Oh, yes. Representative Kiffmeyer, could you explain the elements in this provision that was included in the House language as it left the floor?
Okay. In this particular language, the Campaign Finance Board and those entities that are under that area of responsibility, political committee, political fund, principal campaign committee, or party unit that has received contributions or made expenditures that in aggregate within the year exceed $5,000 must file a report with the board April 7th in each year and by July 7th and October 7th in years when there is no general election. So this is called the Quarterly Campaign Finance Board Reporting. And so in an election year, you already do three of these. This would be an additional one in an election year, which would be the April 7th one. And in a non-election year, we usually have one to file. That's at the end of the year, that filing. This would add potentially three other quarterly reports.
But only, Representative Kiffmeyer, only if a candidate or a candidate organization would attract more than $5,000 in aggregate per year, whether it's election year or not.
That's right, in contributions or expenditures.
Was there a reason why?
Well, in particular, Mr. Chairman, in seeking, as we always do, the signature of the governor on this bill, this was something that was important to him and indicated in many, many ways that for him to consider signing a photo ID bill, that inclusion of quarterly campaign finance reporting was an important element that he felt needed to be included in this bill. And so, Mr. Chair, in other situations, we might have dealt with this as a separate issue, but in light of the governor's indication, the House decided to take the position of including the campaign finance reporting.
Representative Kiffmeyer, I haven't gotten any correspondence from the governor. I know that in reading recent news articles in the last few months, I know that this was an element of what the governor would like somewhere in the course of the session. But I was wondering what his motivation might be. Is it an accountability question or a transparency issue? Does anyone remember what his motivation of having another accounting report in a campaign year or four total in a non-campaign year? Representative Benson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, when I was giving testimony for House File 89, which was the alternate version of suggestion of this came from Representative Winkler, and it was a transparency issue for the governor.
Oh, okay.
That is what he testified to?
That's what he suggested I add to mine so as to make sure that we met the transparency requirements that the governor was looking for in election law.
That's very helpful. Thank you for that.
Yeah, good to know that motivation. Any other discussion on this? Senator Newman?
Mr. Chairman, line 24.3 indicates the treasurer must file a report. There's just a question, you know, candidates or treasurers can file these reports. I don't know if there's a statutory definition that includes both or not, but it's just a thought.
Senator Newman, I remember on our own campaign reports, I commonly do those myself because I want to know where every dollar goes. And it's a good review as I submit the report. But below your signature line, there's a checkoff of who you are. And you check off candidate or treasurer. And since they specify that on the campaign forms, I might suggest we add the language after treasurer or candidate of a political committee. I think you're right, Senator.
I would so move.
All right. Senator.
Mr. Chair, I think we have an issue because these political committees are okay with a candidate, right, Mr. Gearing?
Representative Kiffmeyer, just to say a candidate of a political committee doesn't quite make grammatical sense.
My concern is that a principal campaign, a party unit, doesn't have necessarily a candidate to file for party unit. So I think we'd have to, but what if we just said a political committee, fund, or party unit, and just say the committee, which is, would that work?
The word treasurer out and say the political committee, political fund, principal campaign committee, or party unit that has received contributions? What's that? How does that work?
Council, do you have
Mr. Chair, Representative Vice? I think this language was drafted by the Campaign Finance Board originally, and so it's their suggestion to write it this way. I mean, you're welcome to amend it if you'd like, but I think this is the way that they've sort of suggested.
Hard to argue with the Campaign Finance Board's language. Not only that, they seem to have a lot more expertise and knowledge in what this means. Yeah. So,
well, maybe we should just leave it alone.
I'm inclined to think that, but you know, where they talk about political committee, that is the political committee for us candidates, is it not?
Correct.
The political committee is a different entity from the principal campaign committee. They're listed there separately. A political committee, political fund, or principal campaign committee are all different types of entities. A political committee is a group that's organized not specifically for a candidate, but would be an association of individuals that are campaigning for multiple candidates. But your campaign committee would be a principal campaign committee that's listed there separately.
You know, one thing that I might add is that when maybe we're thinking a little too personally about our campaigns, when people write checks to our campaign effort, they write it to the campaign. They don't write it to the candidate. And so in that case, we're not specifying who signs. We're just recognizing the entities that will receive contributions. And the treasurer of a political campaign would be the designee who would be receiving that donation for that campaign. Ms. Engel.
Mr. Chair,
earlier
the same statute, 10A.20, that same language, the treasurer of a political committee, political fund, principal campaign committee, or party unit is used in another place in that statute. So if we change it here, it would be inconsistent with an earlier provision in that same statute.
I withdraw my motion, Mr. Chair.
All right. Okay.
Thank you. Oh, that's so helpful to have folks who can do a little research here for us and clarify these things for us because we don't want to make things worse, that's for sure.
Okay. Is the Senate members willing to accept this language?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Newman moves the House language starting on page R18. Lines 23.20, known as Section 1, line 23.20 through lines 24.6 on page R19. Is there any further discussion? Questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Okay.
Finance discussion.
Yes, I think that would be, we are ready for that, Mr. Chair. And we have an amendment.
What's the number, Senator Kiffmeyer?
It's 509A9.
The A9 amendment?
A9 amendment, yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves
it. I would have an amendment to that, would you?
All right. Senator Kiffmeyer moves the A9 amendment and wishes to amend the amendment. Could you explain your oral amendment?
I will do so. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On line 1.19, I would like to ask the fiscal staff to give the dollar amount for that particular line.
What is known as $709,000.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'll explain the amendment, and then Ms. Boyd can correct me if I'm wrong, but on line 1.19, this amendment is intended to cover the full cost for the Department of Public Safety in both fiscal year 12 and 13. After or before the $709,000, you would insert $75,000 in fiscal year 2012, and then the $709,000 would be changed to $1,033,000, and then move the is appropriated to behind the fiscal year 2013. So I can read this back to you. It would read $75,000 in fiscal year 2012 and $1,033,000 in fiscal year 2013 is appropriated from the general fund to the Commissioner of Management and Budget for transfer to the state subsidized identification card account.
And Mr. Chair, just to clarify that the $709,000 is also in the Senate appropriation, but we have been advised that the House language did not include the $75,000 and an additional $324,000, which they needed to do for the setup and implementation. That's on the House. We did not have that amount, so we would need to add that to match your Senate appropriation for that particular area.
Okay. Any further discussion? Any questions from finance? No. It's good. All right. Any further? Or could we repeat the oral amendment one more time?
Is this like? I mean, how do we know it costs that much? So what if it?
1.19 before the 709,000. Insert 75,000 in fiscal year 2012, and delete the 709,000 and insert 1,033,000, and then we're moving the is appropriated behind the in fiscal year 2013. So the total amendment would read 75,000 in fiscal year 2012 and 1,033,000 in fiscal year 2013 is appropriated from the general fund to the Commissioner of Management and Budget.
Does everyone understand that amendment? Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair, we did the rest of the language of the amendment does take the Senate approach of using the Help America Vote Act money and is included here. And so with that amendment, Mr. Chair, nothing else is changed in this language here. And we are deleting some House language. And so we've staff have put together the appropriate deletions where needed and renumbering sections, the usual language, and they have reviewed this amendment and that it would accomplish the intention of the bill in funding those provisions that are important.
Senator or Representative Kiffmeyer, and I had just a quick question I just wanted to ask. Mm-hmm. What is the total amount that we're collecting or using from the HAVA account in total?
Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Chair, the total from the HAVA account is $2,450,000. That includes $1 million to Department of Administration for the public education campaign, $950,000 to the Secretary of State for the electronic rosters, and then an additional $500,000 to the Secretary of State for the other provisions.
And then the balance of this amendment is from a general fund?
Correct.
All right. Any other questions on A9 amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted. Senator Newman.
Mr. Chairman, did we adopt the oral amendment before we
adopted? Yes, we did.
We did. Yes. Did I fall asleep?
Yes, you did. No, you didn't.
I must have. My apologies, Mr.
How would I know? I was asleep, too. We'll scratch that from the record. All right.
Well, Mr. Chair, is the we have one more.
I believe we have one more amendment. Senator Newman, would you want to describe the A10 amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The A10 amendment is a several.
Does everyone have a copy of the A10?
All right. A10 amendment is a severability clause amendment, which. I think would be a pretty good idea to put into this bill just in case there would be a court challenge. We would, as a legislative body, be making our intent very clear that the Supreme Court would have the ability to look at various provisions, and if they were to find a provision unconstitutional, the balance of the bill would stand, or the law would stand. And so I think from just a protective standpoint, should this matter ever be challenged, I think we ought to adopt the A10 amendment, and I so move, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Is there any discussion on the A10 amendment? Senator, hearing none, Senator Newman renews his motion to adopt the A10 amendment. Hearing no questions or discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The A10 amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, there's one other section. Go ahead, Mr.
Counsel?
Gehring.
I was going to point out there are a couple of areas of policy related to the appropriations
yes.
that haven't been adopted yet, the public education campaign and the actual language that establishes the voter identification
yes.
card account.
Yes. Mr. Chair, when we set aside some of the ways in which the money was used. So that's what he's referring to on page R23.
And that was the Senate language?
It starts on the bottom of R23. Yeah. On R23, in the House language. On section, that would be section 19 in the House language. And so, again, this in particular designates that the price of the voter identification card not to exceed $985 for reimbursement. Up to that, the actual cost not to exceed $985, and that came from a fiscal note. That's where that dollar amount came from. And then also the report of the expenditures. In the Senate side, it was earlier language that had to do with monthly reports. And in conversation along the way, we cleaned up that language and simplified it so that the report of the total expenditures by county submitted annually by January 31st of each year. To the House and Senate committees, again, with oversight of elections. And then on June 30th, if each odd-numbered year, meaning the end of the biennium, any balance in the account is transferred back to the general fund. The goal there is it has an ongoing funding that was part of our appropriations amendment of $215,000, I believe, each year thereafter. And so what we don't want to do is allow this account to build up into a large dollar amount, but funded each year as necessary.
Representative Kipmeyer, is this provision, section 19, that you're making reference to on the House side, is that, just as a reminder, Is that a provision we've already adopted?
My understanding is not that we need to adopt it.
We need to adopt.
And council both concur that we need to do that, and members as well.
So and then
I would move the, oops.
And then that goes from line 12.15 on R23 down to on page R24. That would go through, is it 23.4?
12.25. Section 19 in this case goes from 12.15 on page R23. On R24, it continues to 12.25, that section. Yeah, right here. It's a little tricky to see where they end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Senator or Representative Kiffmeyer moves House language starting on page R23, line section 19, lines 12.15 through lines 12.25 on page R24. Is that correct?
Correct.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair, another section there is a public education campaign. This is a House-only provision. And in this case, it would be using the Commissioner of Administration to contract for the production of the public educational campaign. Generally, the Commissioner of Administration does do this contracting, but it also makes sure that the Secretary of State would consult with the vendor in coordinating that material, just not allowing Secretary or staff and some of these things promoting not appear visually or audibly. So that language and that policy is what's referenced in Section 32 in particular from lines 2223 through 2234. The next three lines are dealt with in the appropriations amendment that we just passed.
So do we want to adopt only down to 34?
Yes.
All right.
Mr. Chair, you also want to take the effective date on 23.4.
Okay. Oh, and
all right.
Excluding 23.1 through 23.3 mm-hmm. and including 23.4.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves House language found on page R24, section 32, starting with lines 22.23 through 22.34 and line 23.4. And for anyone listening, excluding lines 23.1 through 23.3.
That's correct.
Is there any further discussion regarding this amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? A motion is adopted.
Anybody else where? Joe, do
anything
we,
else?
Anything else? I know.
Ms. Stengel?
Mr. Chair, I don't
Section
know.
Section 17, page R51 has been mentioned. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You may have another one.
Yep.
Page R51. Yes, that was done in the appropriations amendment, I believe. If you staff want to just check. At the top of the page on the right-hand side there, and on the House and the Senate side, I believe that we have covered all of this and the deletions as necessary.
Which lines are we talking about?
Well, we didn't need to delete anything because we didn't adopt them.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't adopt them, we don't have to delete them. Okay. So then we are covered?
Mm.
Ms. Stengel, did
no
you?
Covered?
Was that the one you were focusing on? All right. Any other amendments?
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. There was one other one. There was the state versus jurisdiction issue that we talked about before the
yes.
recess.
What page is that?
And I'll defer to Mr. Gehring or Ms. Boyd. I think they're the ones that actually had the language.
All
so.
Right.
And it was R15 and R11.
R15 and R11.
Mr. Chair, I'll take a stab at it.
On R15, Mr. Guerin can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we decided that on 16.6, we would just strike the words or territory. So it would read, issued to the voter by the state of Minnesota or any other state of the United States. And that same change would be made on page R11.
Would you mind if I just ask, that takes care of including the District of Columbia?
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair and Representative Kiffmeyer, yes. There is a reference in statute, I believe in Chapter 645, correct, that defines what state of the United States means, and it does include any territory or District of Columbia.
Mr. Chair, if you want me to read it, I could just read it into the
record.
I was wondering, though, if to just clarify, it would be...
We could make a statutory
reference. Make a statutory reference, because then... If we're asking the question, somebody else may, if we give a statutory reference, that might help clarify.
Counsel.
And you have a statutory reference there.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, this Chapter 645 is the general chapter that provides a number of definitions for sort of generic terms that appear throughout statute. And there's one definition of the term state. And it says that when applied to a part of the United States, state extends to and includes the District of Columbia and the several territories. And the term United States embraces the District of Columbia and territories. So I think because it exists in Chapter 645, it would, by implication, apply to the use of the term in this section of statute. If the committee would like to include a cross-reference, it could certainly do so, although that's probably not entirely necessary.
Okay.
I personally believe that I would feel more comfortable with a statutory reference.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does everyone agree?
That seems to be agreed to
here. So then the reference would be section 645.44, subdivision 11. And
could someone reread the amendment before us with that statutory reference?
Mr. Chair and members, I believe that the on page R15, the amendment would then be on line 16.6 to delete or territory, and on 16.7 after states, insert comma, as defined in Minnesota Statutes Chapter 645.44, subdivision 11.
Yeah.
I think that does it.
And then I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, the same change would need to be made on page R11 on line 1216. Or I'm sorry, 12.6 of the House language, delete or territory. And then on that same line after states, again insert as defined in Minnesota Statute Chapter 645.
I don't quite have it on R11. Am I missing something?
Page 11, line 12.6.
12.6.
We have it on the House language, not on the Senate language.
12.6, okay. It was just...
But this is...
I'm Mr. Chairman, I got it. I was just being a little...
Where do you have
it? I was on right here, 12.6 right here.
So we adopted on page R11 the House language?
25, section
4.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Mr. Chair, that same phrase appears on line 11.30. On page R11.
Oh.
So
they're everywhere.
Oh, interesting, yeah. Well, I would also like to say that if staff would find any other,
mm-hmm.
please make the corrections. It is our intention to be consistent and to include the statutory reference with it. Whatever that was in R15, do the same in... Mm-hmm. Page R11, at least, and if you find any others, consider that a technical.
In fear of restating this and getting it wrong, does everyone understand this amendment?
As staff has presented,
and
yes.
As staff
on the record.
Has presented it, and making the appropriate changes wherever it may be needed in the reference to states and territories in the United States. Any other discussion? The oral amendment is before us. There's no further discussions. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Anything else?
I think, Mr. Chair, we did vote on it, right, on just that amendment?
On that amendment, yeah. And to be applied in any other area that may be deemed necessary by council.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate working with you, but I understand that the revisor's office will take our instructions and put things together and would have something for us on Monday morning or over the weekend, give us a draft to look at. So we'd probably anticipate meeting again on Monday, possibly.
Possibly for a final vote.
All right.
Well, they certainly would want signatures.
Yes, at least at signatures. That it may, if we read through it all and there is no disagreement as to the how things have been done, we may be able to do this with just a signature sheet. All right.
Is there any other amendments? Any other discussion? Senator, or Rep, I'm going to call you, get you on the Senate, yeah. Representative Kiffmeyer moves that Senate file 509, as amended, be recommended to pass. Since this is a conference committee, where does it go? Floor of each respective body?
I would say yes.
And go to the floor of each respective body. All those in, or any further discussion? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just, so are we going to get back together again? Will we get together as a group yet and look at the final draft and just to see if everybody's okay with what we have in front?
What we could do is hold on the final vote today, get the final document in front of us, and then make that motion.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Petrie?
Mr. Chairman, I would feel much more comfortable with that. As a member of the minority party, in case anybody from my caucus would have questions, comments, or concerns, I would at least like the ability to come back here and clarify.
Fair.
I don't think that there are any, but no. I would just like the opportunity to be there.
Representative Dietrich, having been in a minority caucus for 22 years, and this is the first year I've ever been in a majority, I can greatly appreciate your comments.
And I think that would be the intention, Mr. Chair. I think we've done a lot of work tonight, but I think that for all of us, there's a certain advantage of just being able to let everything settle out and see the final language and
that's
just
fair.
Make sure. So I think that's a very fair thing to do.
All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative.
I don't anticipate any. I'm not trying to do any, funny business or anything like that. There are very few changes made. Major changes anyhow, and I really appreciate both of you, the two of you, and your efficiency in going through this. Good process. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Dietrich. Good to work with you.
Well, having no other business before the committee, we stand adjourned.